When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
My Song Suck would like to acknowledge the traditional custodians of country throughout Australia and recognise their continuing connection to land, waters and community. We pay our respects to them and their cultures and to the elders both past and present.
Hello and welcome to My Song Suck, the show where we listen to bad songs from good writers. I'm Alex Smith and I'm a musician.
I'm James Keogh and I'm the friend of a musician. Let's get started.
Hello, welcome to episode 5 of season 3 of My Song Suck. I'm Alex Smith.
I'm James Keogh.
And here we are in...
And away you go.
Weird energy. I had a lot of Starburst before we began.
You did.
Yeah.
You stocked up. I didn't have any I had coffee, actually, so I'm peppy, too.
Hell yes. Look at all this pep.
There's so much pep in the room right now.
I can't think of another context that pep exists. I was going to be like, it's like a blank up in here.
Yeah. No, one of the characters from Star Fox, because I'm heavy as hell.
Fuck. All right, that's a good comment. I've started saying good content a lot recently.
Yeah.
Like,
there's a lot more good content to be made, and so we need to be addressing it.
Well, like, I found a snail in the bin at work, and I took him out of the bin, and I put him on a leaf outside, and I, like, did the double finger guns and went, good content, and then walked away. But like, there was no one around.
It is good content, though.
Yeah, it was pretty good. I felt pretty good. I was like, yeah. Is he dead? And then as I was pulling him along, his like little eyes started to come out the shell, and I was like, he's alive!
Oh, man.
But I realized he probably would have lived a better life in a bin full of lettuce.
Well, he's on a leaf.
Yeah, but there's birds. But that bin would have been chucked into a compactor, so he'd...
Exactly. That snail is potentially alive now, where it would probably definitely be not alive if you hadn't. Nice. You saved a snail. And that's how we're going to start the show.
Welcome to the show.
So this episode, we have, of course, our third track from...
Because I Can.
Because I Can is the name of the album. And the name of the song is... Oh, I don't have my notes up. Yeah, here we go. The Truth. Ooh.
Mm. Interestingly enough, this album it's got a weird split of 2010 songs and 2009 songs.
Ooh.
And I think you can kind of, I don't know, like, you can definitely kind of hear the quality difference, I feel. But
sure.
This would be late 2009. I don't know, the 2010 ones are like, oh, okay, he's figured it out now. He's kind of got his footing. But 2009, like, some of them are a bit shonky, and then, like, towards the end of 2009, I started to figure it out.
Yeah, I think that of the ones that we've heard so far, this is probably the least complex.
Getting a bit choked up.
Yeah.
Complex.
It's so much to me. No, yeah, but I mean, like, stop talking. Let's start listening.
Yeah, this one's The Truth.
The point. I've got to face this heart-wrenching truth. I could wade through a billion girls, but none of them would be you. Shut down.
there it was.
We're back.
We're back. 2.5 minutes later.
Yeah. Bloody 30 minutes to cuddle. Wait, 30 seconds to cuddle. Fuck, I fucked up my bad at sex joke. How you going?
Oh, yeah, good.
I really like this one.
I'm a bit torn about this one. Because you're right. I like it. And that's all that in my brain. No, I think that, like, it's good. But the more I, like, dove deeper into the specifics of it, the more... I think it works well as a whole. But when you sort of dive into, like, the nitty-gritty of it, it sort of starts to come apart.
Is art still good if it's only bad under scrutiny? I don't have an answer. We're just out here asking the questions.
That's just, you're just putting it out there.
Yeah.
The artist is dead.
I definitely agree. I think it's a lazy song. It's not a... We've spoken often about the candy and the hearty meal. And this is a candy song. It's not a hearty meal of a song.
Yeah. And I mean, a good place to start. Because to me, listening to this on that note, this sort of seems... impersonal almost compared to different songs, but I'd like to know what is the context. Is there a specific situation that relates to this song?
Yeah, it's interesting that you say impersonal, because I feel like my songs are always usually very personal. This one was 2009, so I was still in high school, or maybe I had just graduated, you know, last year of high school. I was trying to rack my brains to think who this was about, because I had so many fucking crushes in high school. But I think this would have been about the writer lady, because she was my big high school crush. And we did date briefly. And so I think this is me just being like, there's nobody as good as you, baby. Oh, I miss you. I miss you so much. I'm bloody 16, 17 years old. I miss you so much. I'll never find anyone as good as you, baby. Oh, it's bloody shocked. Don't know what chose that voice.
You should have put that on the page. That was.
Oh, I did. That's the next album. No. But yeah, so that was the context. It was me being like, we had this beautiful love where I guess we hugged a couple times and then we broke up before the formal. In the space of like a couple months.
Oh,
and,
no.
And it's I've never had anyone as good as you. I'm picking up girls. I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about there.
Yeah. But I guess, less than impersonal, more just like non-specific, because I think previously you've sort of had in your lyrics these very sort of specific cases, but this seems more broad and more maybe more relatable, which is
rather than being like
go on,
you have green eyes and your birthday is in this month,
rather than being like, you're a hairdresser from across the road and I am a child who has a crush on you.
Yes, that's a good point. Well, I think I had been, you know, we say a lot about being self-taught and, you know, like getting lessons and stuff. And obviously I never had any like official lessons, but I remember there was a time in my life, and I couldn't figure out exactly when, but it probably would have been around now, where I started to buy books on arrangement and songwriting. And I started trying to like break down the structure of songs and figure out what makes a song. And rather than being like, what's it called? Like reductive. Is it reductive?
Depends on what you're trying to say.
When you're saying that you're taking something and then doing something that's like the same as it, it's not reductive.
Oh, just like
derivative.
Derivative.
Derivative. That's the one.
Ah.
Directive. Sorry, I just remembered WALL-E. You guys remember WALL-E? Yeah, I try not to be derivative, but also, I think it also sounds like. I think I bought Logic Pro.
Oh, yeah.
Because the MIDIs are less terrible. And I think I saved up my dollars from busking. And I think I bought Logic Pro X for the first time.
Cool.
And I know at some point there's a definite clicking quality when I buy my first proper microphone. I don't think this is it, though, because you can kind of hear the shittiness.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure when is going to be when I buy it. And I'm mad I'm not going to be able to hear exactly when it changes over.
Yeah,
the quality seems to have taken an up, and I don't know whether that's just... It just seems better somehow, and I can't put my finger on what. Is it just because I'm using MIDI sounds that I hadn't before, or is it more?
Yeah, maybe. I think like the way generally, I think to speak broadly on the song, like it definitely has a cohesive, like it's got a groove that it's going for.
Mm.
And you can, yeah.
Well, I was going to say another thing. So 2009, yep. Also 2009 was Robbie Williams's Reality Killed the Video Star album.
Nice. Yep.
And yep. I absolutely fell in love with his two songs, Won't Do That to You and You Know Me.
Mm.
And while I love Won't Do That to You, like that's this kind of like big bandy kind of won't do that to you won't kind of sound. But yeah. I think this sounds very, very similar to You Know Me. Which if you listen to You Know Me and listen to this, it's like you can't quite say how I've ripped it off, but you're like, oh, I see that this song has influenced this song. Mm. And You Know Me was going for that kind of, like, kind of the 50s, but with, like, this big band swing kind of vibe to it. Yeah, and I think that song, I think I was just listening to a lot more music that I've got so many thoughts that are like going you know when you're young and you just listen to anything and you're like fucking the Caramel Dancing, the Ketchup song, just sure. anything, all music yeah. in my ears all the time.
Yes.
I think I started to listen to music because I liked it, and I'd be like I started to kind of hone down what it was that I liked,
right?
And I think I started to listen to a lot more music that I liked, and then I kind of pumped this out, and I think that's why I like it to this day, I think. I've spoken a lot. You say a thing. I'm sorry.
Well, I was going to say the sort of inspiration, or not the, maybe, you know, I don't want to say what you're inspired by, but like the vibe I got from this, I guess, was like this kind of, I can't remember, there's definitely a specific sort of example, but like a boy bandy, sort of almost like a Boys to Men, some kind of like, you know, although we've come to the end of the road, right? Like yeah. this kind of almost ballady, you know, love song.
Oh man.
But yeah, I don't know if that had any sort of if you know that was any sort of bearing on your inspiration.
We're definitely entering ballad Alex times. Mm. We start to hit a lot of ballads. Because I really love ballads. I love the storytelling.
Yeah.
I like, because when I was younger, I didn't dance often. I was not a club goer. Because there's like different ways that you listen to music and influences the different types of music you like. And so because I had less of a focus on like rhythm and, you know, like beat and stuff, I was about like the lyrics and melody and the story and stuff, which is why I often found myself enjoying a ballad. And yeah. also, everyone likes a big, powerful voice, and a ballad usually lends itself to be like, I am telling a story with a big, powerful voice. I definitely enjoyed the ballady songs.
Yes. Well, let's get into the breakdown. Let's kind of get into this song.
Let's.
Because we start with, so basically, it's actually quite almost a short or a very simply constructed song, I would say. I don't know if you would agree with that.
Yeah, it feels unfinished to me, but also I can't think of what else there'd be, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
No, I would agree with that. Maybe like another verse, because technically the way you've written it right now, in terms of writing it out for us to read, you've got verse in two chunks, whether that's like verse one or verse two, or just like it's the one verse.
Feels like two verses.
So we have, okay, so we've got this first verse, which I think we have a clip for.
I've been picking out girls, but what's the point? I've got to face this heart-wrenching truth. I could wade through a billion girls, but none of them would be you.
And I think, so when I clipped it, I kind of cut out that first line, which was, I've been hanging around all the usual joints, I don't know why I clipped that out, but I think it was because these last four lines of that verse, for me, are definitely all kind of to the same point of just like this weird humble brag almost.
Yeah, it's of just odd. Weird energy.
It's so all these lines. I've been picking up girls, but what's the point? I've got to face this heart-wrenching truth that I could wade through a billion girls. Go on.
I was just gonna, like, am I playing like a character here? Is this cool guy? Or maybe I'm just like, hypothetically, even if I did get with a billion girls, none of them will be you. I'm trying to give young Alex the benefit of the doubt these days, because hearing us bounce off Jen, where Jen was like, oh, have you know, you're all right. And then just try to argue for how shit I was. I was like, that's a weird dynamic.
No, that's good. Someone's got to step up to bat for this kid. He can't speak for himself anymore, I'm afraid.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think I think lyrically, I can see what you're going for,
yeah,
but
like
I think
one
like,
in a billion kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly.
It just comes across.
It comes across like, do you remember in 2012? It was like during the elections in the US, and Mitt Romney had that quote of like, "Oh yeah, I've got binders full of women." In terms of like selecting people for his staff, and like, yeah, gender diversity. I've got binders full of women, but like the exact phrasing is like, okay, dude.
Yeah, yeah.
That to me is what this is with wading through a billion girls.
Yeah. If only I thought for a single second ever before I spoke.
But hey, we know what he's saying. You know.
Yeah.
That for me, I think, is my the theme of this for me is just like it, with some punched up lyrics, this is fine.
Well, I've done it again in a recent song. It's a it's a song on my new album. It's called Pilot Light. I love it, and the fucking lyric is like, what was it? And all my lovers tell me that it's cold in your shadow, and then it like goes on. But that's like all my lovers tell me, and it's like, oh, dude, that sounds so fucking bad. But it just means like the people I've been with since you.
Right, yeah. I think it's a good line, but the use of the word lovers.
Yeah. All my lovers.
All my lovers. But like what do you say there? Anyway.
Yeah, like there's no other sometimes you get cornered. And
yeah.
Like, I don't know.
Anyway. Do you have any thoughts on why is it a heart wrenching truth that
'cause it's sad. It's sad.
That you
can wait
through
a
billion girls,
no.
And none of them are you.
Because it's like you had this perfect woman for a couple months, and then you broke up before formal, and then now you'll never get anyone as good as her. You know?
Oh, of course, right.
It's sad. It's
you're right. I did forget that it was kind of a post breakup thing.
True. It's not your fault as the audience that you did not understand the point of my song. That's my fault that I fucked up.
No, I think I think it comes across. Should we move on?
Let's!
Okay, so we have the second part of the verse. I don't think I have a clip for it. The reason, and I kind of wrote this down, they are sort of, I don't know, they're...
Creepy?
No, just sort of like not really saying much.
Oh.
Let's go through them. So it's I didn't know what I had. Now it's gone.
Put up a parking lot.
Hmm?
We put up a parking lot.
Yeah. Paved paradise. you may have let go, but I'm hanging on.
Weird thing to say.
I want to turn off, completely shut down.
I hate that.
I want my past to stop messing me around. Yeah, maybe this is creepier than my first read.
I want to turn off, completely shut down. It's such a lazy fucking... I just want to not feel any emotions. It's such a fucking teenager thing. Close the door. Any fucking reference to closing the door in terms of not feeling anything. Like, fuck off. Learn a fucking metaphor.
Yeah.
I hate it. I want to turn off, completely shut down, and I want my past to stop messing me around. Like, maybe, but I want my past to stop messing me around? What a weird way to say that. Also, you haven't even graduated high school! She's still there!
He's got a dark past. You don't know.
God. Fuck.
That definitely seems like a lyric that is designed to match a rhyme. Yeah. stop messing me around.
I'm torn because I love the delivery of "You may have let go, but I'm hanging on."
Totally.
It's very cool.
No, absolutely.
But also just from a sentiment like, hey, look, you may have moved on from this relationship, but I haven't. And I'm proud of that. And it's like, what the fuck, dude?
You're so right. You're
That's
so
not
right.
A cool thing to yell. But he yells it so cool. I think that sums up the Wymus experience quite well. That's not a cool thing to yell, but he yells it so cool.
But he yells it so cool.
Put it on my grave.
Any more on that, do you think? Yeah.
Do you have any more? I've been talking a lot this time. I ate a lot of sugar.
No, I think that, like, if, in my first pass on it, I just thought, like, it all amounts to, like, you've moved on and I haven't. And, mm-hmm. like, you say that, like, three times. I mean, yeah.
Sorry, I coughed.
No, you're all good.
Actually, yeah, I think maybe I'm fucking myself up. Because, like, the point of the song isn't I am a healthy young man. It's, you know, I'm sad because I can't get over you.
Yeah.
You know, it's
yeah,
not
no,
it's not a proud exclamation of, but I'm hanging on. It's like, you've moved on. But I think maybe the term hanging on implies
yes.
I'm choosing to not move on.
Mm.
But no, I guess
it's
that's
more
the whole
of
point
a can't
of
let go sort of thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which
et
is
two. Young
sad.
Alex.
Moving on, we go to the pre-chorus, or the I think I called it the bridge in my clip. But we'll have to take a listen to that.
Baby, I've tried to find somebody else, but my heart's stuck on you. I just gotta accept it.
Jeez.
Well, did he?
I really like that pre-chorus.
Yeah, I think that's good. And like, yeah, maybe, you know, maybe you were talking about how this feels unfinished, but you don't know how to extend it. Like, I don't know, different I don't know, like, this seems like a repeatable bit.
Mm. Actually, you know what?
Mm.
I've been looking at this song line by line rather than overall.
Mm.
This song actually is okay. In terms of, like, its message. Because it starts being like, I haven't moved on. I'm sad. I miss you. Then it's like, you know, I've got to find someone else. I'm stuck on you. I've just got to accept you. Accept it. I miss you. I miss you. Mm. I've lied to myself. It's not a crime. It's okay to feel sometimes.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, and it's like, it's okay that you miss this person.
And what's good as well, and you were mentioning, like, the line of, you know, wanting to turn off and completely shut down. It's like, I mean, maybe, you know, that the specific implementation of that line might be a bit like played, but like that's something, it's almost like you respond to that in the chorus of just like, actually I've lied to my, like, it's okay to feel this way, you know, it's like
yeah,
it's okay to not to actually feel these feelings without having to shut down.
Turning
so
off
actually,
isn't the answer.
Yeah,
touche. Young Alex,
there you go.
He's growing,
he's doing all right.
Show the growth
I've tried to find somebody else, but my heart's stuck on you. I've just got to accept it. I like that, you know. I like both the delivery and the message of the pre-chorus in particular.
Yeah, I really like that pre-chorus. I think I don't know whether I think maybe there was a better lyric than I've just got to accept it, just musically, but like that's also what it is. I've just got to accept it. It also, I don't know whether this is the first use of it, but Wymus relies very heavily on the pre-chorus of F F F F F F F G G G G G G G F F F G G G C major. This is some classic Wymus right there.
Nice.
Yeah. Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah.
Big Wymus energy. And also, like, from a music tech point, this song has some interesting reverb-y background vocal stuff going on.
Because
This one's got, baby, I've tried to find. And in the background, there's this, like, really, like, pushed back in the room, like, room sound where it's like, baby, I've tried to find somebody else. And, like, somebody
else.
Just, like, some cool harmony stuff going on.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, on, like, the chorus of God, I Miss You a Bit, like, that's got, like, a cool kind of backing thing. Yeah, Boys to Men was a good pick.
Mm,
Also, is that the sequel to Boys? Boys 2. Man. I was thinking about that while pushing trolleys.
Good.
Yeah.
Overall, I think we can agree, bro. A good pre-chorus.
Yeah. I feel like it would be too much if it happened again. If it was verse.
That's actually, you might be right. You might be right. I'm just thinking of ways to extend this.
I think the intro, sometimes with an intro, you're like, I'll get to it. And you just like start with verse one and you're like, bum, ba, dum, ba, and then you write the intro afterwards, like to kind of get a better vibe for the NG. And then you can do some cool, like have the chorus melody play very gently in the background. So when the chorus hits, you're like already familiar with it. And you're like, I've already heard this before. So I like it. The mere exposure effect. But yeah. But with this one, I think I just didn't do that.
Right.
So it just begins.
It just starts, yeah.
And I think I could probably have a better ending. That being said, a fade out does mean things aren't resolved. So if you're going to have someone who just missed someone, didn't stop missing them, a fade out would be thematically appropriate.
Pretty clever.
Mm-hmm. But
yeah. Let's take another look at that chorus, see what we've got. That, now that you've pointed out like the backing.
Yeah.
Holy moly. That's pretty sick.
Yeah, I really like the backing in this one.
Yeah.
And like the timing. I think I finally learned something from like choir and backing vocals and stuff.
Hmm. I think that like the more we talk about this song, I remember obviously I said at the start that like it's good as a whole, but once you get into it it's not so good. I think it's good now, even on the micro. I think that like going through and seeing like this is actually a story. This is, you mentioned how you like ballads because of their stories and stuff like that. I think this has more of a story than I probably gave it credit for.
Well, as always, I wonder whether that's on me as the artist because not. You don't always have the artist on a Zoom call with you listening to it line by line, you know?
That's true.
So, like, I feel like I should have made it clearer. But, I mean, I do the whole thing of, like, oh, I don't want to spoon feed the message. I like there being, like, a hidden thing upon multiple viewings. But this song clearly isn't trying to do that. This is trying to be like, this is the story. And if I haven't, this is the storied, then I fucked it up a little bit. I don't know.
No, I think the story comes across.
Mm.
It's just, I'm not as literate in that sort of sense of like, trying to dig deep into it. I think with a lot of these songs, kind of come in with the assumption that young Alex would never be so intelligent. But,
well, I don't know what's going on. I don't know what's did I just start to grow?
Maybe this breakup really sort of kicked you in the gut.
Well, I guess it would have because I'd have like she was my first like I really like this girl I want to get with her and then I got with her and then I lost her.
Yeah.
Because sometimes it doesn't matter how good you think you are if you're. Oh, I'm sorry, I've been talking like over here this whole time. sometimes it doesn't matter how good you think you are if you're just a bit of a fuck. You can lose people. You don't just have someone once you get them. You got to keep them. And maybe I realized like, oh, I lost this person because I didn't keep them. You know.
Damn.
I think a lot of my music journey has been realizing that your intention, it doesn't matter how good you think you are, you know?
I feel that.
Yeah, and you're not always who you think you are. Sometimes you're like a bit shit, you know? And sometimes it takes a long time and a lot of therapy to realize the ways that you're a bit shit. But you can always change.
Yeah, and I mean, like, at the very least, Alex here seems to be aware of where he is in that journey of having to face this thing that has happened and face that he has to be sad for a little bit.
Yeah.
He misses you, baby. Oh God, he misses you.
He's gotta feel his feelings.
And I like this because it definitely like it's a short song, And we sort of set up this idea of like, I'm sad and I want to shut down and I just want everything to be bad. And then we sort of ramp up. And we also, I mean, we almost kind of don't have anything that brings us there, but it's kind of like at the end of the chorus, we have this thing of like, actually, I've lied to myself. It's not a crime to feel sometimes, which I think from a audience perspective, it's like a bit cathartic of just like, you follow that.
Yeah.
Get this guy.
And then, yeah, then he just rides out saying, I miss you, baby. I gotta miss you, baby. And that's what he's feeling.
He rips out a fucking cool solo. Let's take a listen to that.
The dancing does help with the boy band vibes. I can feel that.
Yeah, yeah.
Good
big
solo.
Boy band energy. I it's so funny that we kind of came into this and I was like, it's fine, it's just a bit generic, it's a bit, you know, blah blah blah. But then we've come out of this. The other end of that song. I'm feeling for this guy.
Eurovision. This could be Australia's
right.
song. Good. I like that. Well, I well, that's it's interesting that we say this because do you know what genre I called this?
Oh, tell me.
Fail.
Fail.
Yep.
Wow.
Apparently,
poor
young
kid.
Alex didn't like this song.
Poor kid.
Thought it was a failure.
Or did he think he was a failure?
Nah, I would have been like epic fail. So I would have been like, this song is a fail. This one sucks.
Wow. No, this is fine.
I really like it.
Yeah.
Like, I have a lot of songs. Like, I used to have a lot of songs in my iPod, and this one was one that I never skipped because it was so short and just so, like, go to woe, just good.
Mm.
Good vibes.
I think, if anything, I mean, let's, you know, we'll get into the good and the bad and the interesting. We're kind of here now. But the one thing that, like, once I heard it, I couldn't unhear it is that drum.
Yes. You got Pompeii'd by Bastille.
Yeah. Just that one. So it's a drum thing of just like it just goes and it does that many, many times.
Yes, it does. I'm not a drummer and I was like, I need something to keep time and at the end of it to keep it interesting, I'll have a drum fill. Copy paste, copy paste, copy paste, copy paste, song finished.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
That sort of put a dampener for me because like I mean like maybe that's it of why I sort of didn't listen too intently to the lyrics. It's just because I could only hear the drum but my good thing is that yeah, this is a perfectly like it's a nice boy bandy song. And I think like through the lens of that, it doesn't need to be this highly specific sort of, it can just be like, I miss this girl, you know, and it doesn't have to be super like profound, even though this is, you know, has its progression in the story. It's also simple in that it's relatable and it's a story that we know and the sort of story we can relate to.
Yeah, we've all missed someone.
We've all missed babies.
Fuck.
What do you got?
I got like a 3-year-old. I love her. She's my niece. No, I originally was not going for boy band. I was going for big band. Hell yeah. And I thought that I did very well. And that was a good because I was like, I love this big energy, these horns, these strings. I don't know why it worked this time and it didn't because, like, it's kind of the same thing, just, like, big pad chords. I think it's actually because... So I've got... I think in the past I'd have everything doing a long-held chord and it would be boring. I think I've got the instruments that are normally playing big long chords, And the drum, while repetitive and boring, is doing what a drum does and playing an actual drum beat that a human would play rather than some weird kind of bullshit.
Yeah.
And this one, subtle, but I think it's one of the early decent bass lines. Because it's like this dum, 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 dum. Like it fits the genre and it's not in the way. Like everything just locks into place really well. What lets it down, unfortunately, is the acoustic guitar. I'm not really playing in time, but I'm clearly trying to do this finger picking arpeggio, like boom, but like it's a little bit out of time. And it has like an odd, like it's got an effect on it, like I think a flanger or something. But it's not, it just doesn't mesh well in the mix. You can hear. Because like the obviously the samples that the horns and strings are like recorded with fancy mics to be used in this music software, and then you have the audio, you know, the fidelity of the recording of the vocal, and then the guitar, and obviously if you have like a transparent image, like if you have a PNG that has a bunch of like little black flecks, little tiny microscopic flecks in it. And then you layer on top of that another transparent PNG that has a bunch of microscopic flecks in it, and then another one, you have like a lot of like kind of sound. So that makes it sound like a little bit shit. I think if it was recorded better, maybe it would have fitted a bit better.
Totally.
There was something else I did as well. That was the singing, the bass, the guitar. No, I think that's fine. Sick guitar solo.
Oh, hell yeah, dude. I like it. It goes places.
Tasty. I don't know whether I have my audio interface at this point or whether I was plugged in or whether I was like recording it with the mic.
Yeah.
But, it's pretty good.
It's doing, it sounds like there's some sort of like cool effect on it going on. So I don't know what you're doing there, but it was sick.
I at one point bought a VHS How to Learn Blues Guitar.
Cool.
And I think I was starting to actually play in a scale. So that's your first tip if you want to be a good guitarist, learn your scales, because if you know what notes to play, then you play the right notes.
It helps.
Pretty good, because in the past it would just be trial and error, and then obviously you don't want to trial and error the entire fretboard, so I'd find like about five notes that work and be like, yeah, sick, and just like play around there, which sucked. The pre-chorus is real cool, we said that. The chord progression is good, especially in the chorus. I think that's an underrated one. Because it isn't this, like it isn't a four chord progression. It has a lot of longing, like the "Do I miss you, baby?" It's pretty standard, but then it comes back with this "Do oh God, I miss you, baby." And like I think that's like a good, I don't know. It sums up that kind of I am passionate, but oh, I'm in pain and passion and like. Just musically, I like that chord progression, the way that it like, oh, it's probably got fucking C major to E major interval. I love that interval. It's just good. I love it. If not E major, then E minor. But
I agree. It's very sort of, it's cohesive with the tone of the song and then the message, which is really cool.
Yeah.
It's cool to have that bleed in with each other.
I think we're so often taken out of it when the songwriting is bad.
Yeah.
I think that when the songwriting's good, we forget to mention it. And like this one kind of took me by surprise. I was like, that's a good chord progression.
Yeah.
Clever use of backing vocals.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the guitar is not excessive. It serves its purpose. It stays in the background.
It's a part of the song rather than this sort of, you know, super driving force or super, you know, overpowering thing.
Yeah. I think cool. I would recommend everybody who plays in a band to try and write solo music for a long time. Because a lot of people who play in a band, like when you talk about egos getting in the way, their songs sound like my first songs where every instrument is trying to be the coolest. And that's when a song sounds bad. And like this song sounds good because the instruments are individually playing pretty boring parts, you know?
Yeah.
But, like, they work together in a good way, and they make room for each other to do stuff. Yeah. Like, the guitar's just playing arpeggios, and then it rips out a fucking sick solo towards the end, and, like, the bass is like dum dum dum, and like it's got a little bit of movement, you know.
Mm.
It's about, you know, if you're individually playing boring stuff, your song probably sounds pretty sick, because you're all, because the song is what matters, the performance is what matters, and once you get your ego out the way and realize that, like, oh, we are all very important parts in this machine,
yeah,
then that's how you start making good music.
Yeah.
Nice. So that's my good.
Very good. I think dang, I had a thing that, like, I thought of while you were speaking, and I was like, I should write that down. It's like, nah, I'll remember it. But there are some things that, I think it was just mostly about how all of this sort of works together as a whole really well.
Mm.
I think it comes together really well. I wrote kind of that the lyrics could do with some punching up. I think that, like, in terms of just phrasing, you know, there are some times where you're using certain words to meet rhymes, or just sort of trying to get a message across and doing it maybe a bit clunkily. But, like, all things considered, I think the second half of the song is almost perfect.
Oh, I feel that.
But, you know, like, from the pre-chorus onwards.
Yeah, a tall compliment.
Mm.
Appreciate.
I think from pre-chorus onwards, this is one of the best from Young Alex.
I feel that. It's definitely one of my favorites, even to this day. When I hear it, I'm like, hell yes, crank it for this 1 minute bop. Thank you.
Yeah, although it's interesting because I don't think it hits for me, at least, if you're going for this, like, big band style song. Mm. I don't know if it hits that for me, but I think it definitely hits the very smooth, I don't know if it's the right word, but like the sort of tender rhythmic ballad of a early 2000s boy band sort of thing.
Yeah. Mm. It's music to kiss to.
It is. It's cute. A little smooch for your honey on this one.
God, imagine if I was like, let me put on some music, and I put on my own song from 2009, and it's only 2.5 minutes long.
It's just enough. All right.
My headphones.
Did you have more? You have bad? Have you done your bad yet?
I do have bad. I was going to say, my headphones are slipping down, and I look like Lin-Manuel Miranda, because he always wears that flat cap.
Yeah. Yeah. In the Heights.
What are you doing to my script? My son!
Philip! Tell us your bad.
Well, Zane shot through a message saying, damn it, Janet. It sounds kind of like damn it, Janet.
Oh, yeah.
Janet. It starts far too abruptly. And not... Mm. You can do the abrupt start. Like, in You Know Me has... just the piano phrase going dum 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 da 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 da, and then it happens again. But the first time it happens, it's like got this tinny radio kind of sound.
Oh, yep.
And then it begins again, and like the whole band is in, and that's like a good example of like a fake out intro where you can have it abruptly start. I didn't do that. It literally starts.
Yeah.
Good luck picking that key when you sing it live. Bad MIDI horns, but like not the worst MIDI horns, you know, like
it's a step up on bad MIDI horns.
Yeah, like MIDI horns are fine in a pad, because did you know that it's actually the attack of a sound that helps your brain figure out what it is. If you get a trumpet being like, and then you get like a clarinet and an oboe and a flute being like, if you cut off the beginning of the sound, your brain will find it very hard to distinguish which one is which.
Huh, that makes sense.
Yeah. So you can have a horn pad and a string pad just being like, but once you have, like, I think in this one, there's some counter melodies being like, that's when your brain's like, oh, that's garbage. I'm listening to some garbage. So yeah. But if you're going to invest in plugins, I think good horn plugins, if you can find them, good ones, would be a very good investment. That being said, they're very hard to find.
Really?
Yeah, they're very hard to find because a horn is such an expressive instrument. It's like trying to find a plugin for a voice, and you can find voice plugins, but they're weird. You know,
it's like robot, like sort of auto-generated voices, sort of thing.
Yeah, you can get where it's like like a chord, and you have these ones where like they very cleverly record the voice at different points, and you can like slide between the notes, but it's not perfect, and it has like an Uncanny Valley kind of vibe. Although there are some that work really well, like that Lord of the Rings kind of thing. You can have like,
oh, cool,
and you can like have that kind of stuff. I'm sorry, everyone. but yeah, I don't know why I went on to MIDI horn recommendation.
Hey, I'll take anything.
You got to work on your horns, looking. James. So it starts too abruptly. I felt like it ended too soon, but I also don't think, like, you don't want to overstuff a song. Sometimes
that one's hard.
It's good to leave them wanting more. Like, I think I feel like it ends too soon because I'm like, oh, I'm having fun. Keep it going, you know?
Yeah. What's interesting is that, yeah, at the end of that solo, it starts up another chorus, or, you know, it as it fades out, there's sort of the, I miss you, baby. Like, that's, there's a version of this song where the solo finishes and then we have another last triumphant chorus or whatever that might have some different lyrics, like whatever. And then, you know, there's a ending after that. I think this lands. Like, I think, yeah, I wonder what our comment would be if we didn't know that this version of the song exists, if it only finished with that second chorus. Like, would we be like, oh, that second chorus was not necessary, you know, cut that and blah, blah, blah. I wonder.
See, I think we would probably overstay its welcome because the ending of I lied to myself, it's not a crime, it's okay to feel sometimes, feels like it's going to go somewhere. And like, if you did have it start to fade out with I miss you, baby, after that second chorus, I think your brain would be like, oh, are we doing a third chorus? And then it would end. So it wouldn't overstay its welcome, but just at the end, it would feel like it's about to.
Yeah.
And then you'd be like, it's a bit too long.
I think you would end it in a different way if you had a second chorus.
To feel some time.
Yeah, like, I don't know what you do there.
what a weird way to end that song. Just like everyone starts clapping like a fake crowd. Woo, yeah.
It's like the end of Evangelion where it's like, good job, Shinji. Good job. Well done. Boy. But no, I think this kind of, yeah, it didn't overstay its welcome.
Lazy drums. Bad
lazy
levels.
Drums. Just do what are you doing?
I feel like that was one point where it didn't loop, but am I just going crazy?
There were like times where I expected it. I was like waiting for it and it like wouldn't. And it'd be like one in every four times. So I'm like, oh, here it comes. What? And then like it'll just be right back. And sometimes it does it twice in a row. It'd be like, like, oh.
I was probably doing the solo. For those of you who aren't in the Zoom call listening, James was doing the drum solo every time as we were listening. And I didn't realize that it looped so often. So I was like, oh, fuck. Yeah. God damn. Yeah, I think it faded out because I didn't know how to end it. But I think this was a fine ending.
I think it works.
Dynamic range. It doesn't really go anywhere. It kind of just starts where it is and it stays there the whole time. Every single bit sounds like it's this big reveal. Every bit sounds like the climax of the song. That being said, I don't hate it. You know, like, I think I fall often into the trap of like, I start my song small because I'm Mad Alex Smith. And then we're kind of in verse two. Big chorus.
Right.
Got to take it down, but still kind of big because verse one was the small one. Pre-chorus, big chorus. Bridge, big chorus and the end.
Yeah.
You know?
That actually, I now remember, is the thing I was going to say was good, is kind of the progression of this song and how it ramps up. And I guess because it kind of doesn't have that much time to sort of mess around too much with that, it just kind of does what it does without having to like do that thing of like, all right, we have to start small so that we can ramp up to this. And almost kind of it does it lyrically more than musically of like, here is the state I'm in at the start.
True.
We're going to have a bit of a journey.
Yeah.
We're going to end here. It's going to be pretty like heightened the whole way. And I would say, yeah, it does ramp up to the chorus, especially with that pre-chorus helps a lot with that.
Mm.
But it lyrically tells a story more than musically.
I didn't even think of it that way. Damn.
Well, that's what I'm here for.
Yeah, man. That's a pretty cool take. I remember I did that gig at the Green Owl, which closed. Sadly. But I was showing off like, oh, hey guys, these are my songs. You know, I've got like 10 songs. Maybe is this going to be on the album? What do you think? Which one should I keep? Which one should I think? And it was a really cool gig. And one of the feedback I got, because I handed out like anonymous forms. Did I hand out pens? That isn't relevant. one of the things I got was someone was like, you should write a song that is just upbeat the whole way through. Every one of your songs builds. And I was like, damn, they're right.
That's a fair point.
All of my songs have to be this fucking novella, fucking Tolkien-esque journey. Why can't it just be a pop song? So I like, and lo and behold, we have this song that is just upbeat. And I'm like, I really like it. So sometimes it's good to just write a song that's just fun.
Yeah. And I will say as well, you have a song on your upcoming album that is more that than previously.
Yes, although it does still build, because it just builds in a more exciting way. Like it brings in the.
This is I was talking about Run Into the Night. Yeah, that's the one. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, you know, it's not your classic.
No.
Style, which is cool.
I think people will like it.
Hopefully. I think so too. I realize that's off topic, but I want to like sow the seeds of Run Into the Night, because I really do enjoy that song quite a bit.
I really like that one. The music video was going to be great. And the world shut down.
The shame.
Yeah. I got that quarantine fatness. I'll have to lose some weight before I do the music video.
We've talked good, we've talked bad. Do you have any trivia or fun facts about this one?
I don't have any more trivia, but I do have one more bad, and that is that the singing is weak and pitchy.
Ooh, slay.
Sorry, Zane was pointing, and I was like, what have I done? And he was saying I had to be closer to the mic.
I was worried, too. We were getting cancelled on it.
You're done. You're basic.
Sorry. Leave.
That's all I got to say on that one.
I don't mind the vocalizer. I don't mind the... singing. Sorry, I couldn't find the word singing.
The vocalizations.
You know how you do the words and stuff? No, yeah. I think it's... I think it's fine for what it is. Because, I mean, you know, there's that bit that's like in the second verse. Sorry, I lost my notes. You may have let go, but I'm hanging on. You know, like, that's good.
Oh,
that's
sick. Yeah, I started to, like, sing. I can only imagine what like first album Alex would have done this with it. It'd be like,
yeah,
may have let go, but I'm hanging on.
Yeah, right.
And it would have been out.
Yeah.
You know, like putting some more oomph into it.
There's a lot of oomph in this one. Mm. Yeah, and the chorus, like, it's good.
I was writing songs that is easy to sing, you know? Because like,
hey,
Emma is hard to sing passionately just because the melody is shit. And like the words are shit, and it's hard to be like, Emma, I got a dilemma, you know? Like, how would you fucking make that cool? Whereas this just kind of is cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I think this one, yeah, I agree. That all said and done, what do we say? Do we rank this now?
I think
so. Or do you want to do what you would improve? I mean, we've kind of touched on it.
Yeah, yeah.
I would say... punch up the lyrics a bit more, make them a bit more deliberate, make the lyrics in the first half just kind of more cohesive and kind of saying. I mean, maybe strip out the whole, I could be with a billion jillion girls.
Yeah, or find some other way to say that you're one billion.
Yeah. But other than that, like, yeah, just maybe Yeah, punch up the lyrics.
Get some better midis. Get
yeah,
some better,
better
horns.
Drums.
Yeah. Oh yeah, rewrite the drum line.
Rewrite the drum line. Mm. And then that's like it.
Yeah, just
you
improve
know,
the quality.
You would redo the vocals anyway for any song, you know?
Yeah.
And you could, you know, spice up the solo maybe even more, I don't know. Check with your
fucking pepper in there.
Yeah.
Spicy.
Yeah. Spicy.
Spice.
So yeah, I think anything more to add on what you would do to pick that up?
Yeah, no, I think that's all we got. Sorry, Zayn was shaking his head at me for going spice.
Oh.
I don't know why he doesn't like that.
Seems he can't handle the kitchen.
Nice. That's all I got to say on this one.
What
oh,
do you rank it?
I rank
10?
It.
I've forgotten. I was thinking about this as we go on. I don't know if 10 out of 10 sucks is bad or good.
Well, it depends what your definition of good is.
No, I mean, like, what's the ranking? So is 1 out of 10, this is a bad song?
So 10 sucks means it sucks a lot.
Okay. Good.
This is a terrible system, and I get confused every time we begin.
Every single time. And I wonder, because I haven't gone back, or I wonder if I go back on these three episodes that we've done, if we've got the system different each time.
I feel like it's the same each time, because I remember being like, well, if I feel like I should be saying it's a low number if it's bad, because
right.
That's how rankings work.
Okay, this is 2. Out of 10 sucks.
Yeah, I feel that. I would say a 2, if not a 1. Because a 0 can count as well. And I think that Zayn gives it a 4. Wow.
Zayn gives it a 4, yeah.
Damn. But I think 2 is... I feel like a 2.
Both
in life and in sucks.
Harsh, Zayn.
Yeah.
That's almost half suck.
Oh, he's bringing it down to a 3.
Oh, yes,
a 3,
him.
4, 3 and a half. 3.
I got him.
Nice.
I'm a Hagler.
that feels accurate. It's just a good song. We didn't have much bad to say about it.
Yeah. I it's so funny that I kind of came into this and I was like, oh, it's a plane. You know.
It's a bird. It's Superman.
It's Superman. no, but it's so funny that like after going through it more, and I guess like not to peel back the curtain too much, but I didn't have too much time with this song before this episode. I started listening to this song this morning. I have to admit, but having that more time with it really kind of enlightened me.
Hmm.
So, thank you for that.
Thank you for sleeping in.
Hey, anytime. Cool. So where can people find your songs now? You have these old songs,
yeah.
But I don't want to listen to those.
Yeah.
I want to listen to new songs by you.
Well, if you want to listen to the new songs, you can find them on Spotify. I'm Your Man Alex Smith. I'm a musician. I'm based in Brisbane. That's Your Man Alex Smith. You can also find my music video on YouTube that features James Kehoe from My Songs Suck. And me, also Taylor Davidson from, I forgot the name of the dog one.
Oh, Floof and Papa.
And then they fucked Floof and Papa. And
oh, God.
And musicals
I forgot the name of the dog one. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, sorry. She's on a couple podcasts. Yeah, that's fun. And I'm also on Facebook. And my 10-track album, which I've been making for 3 years, is so close to being done. I'm working on the 8th one currently. We're about to begin the 9th one. Probably by the time this one comes out, and then 10th one, and then we're done, and then we'll see what the world's doing, whether it's a good climate to release an album. Probably
now,
not.
These songs, though, would assume maybe production would hurry up or be better if I could somehow fund those songs being made. Can I do that in any way?
Well, you would be correct in thinking that, and if you wanted to do that, if you wanted to help my album happen, you could check out my Patreon. I'm on patreon.com, Your Man Alex Smith. Again, it's a solid brand. It's easy to find me. And it really is the best way to support my music. And I put out a lot of content, even when COVID is making it hard to fucking wake up, pumping it out
hell
for
yeah.
The patrons. But where can people find you, James?
I'm on Instagram at the James Keogh. You can, if you want to follow me there, you don't have to. I don't use it very often. I realized the other day, my last photo, is from Graduation.
It was a good photo.
Which was, I think, November or something of last year, which is a long time ago. That's like half a year ago.
Oh, Jesus.
Can you? No, it's not. It's surely not. March, February, January, December, November. It's almost half a year ago.
Yeesh.
Yeesh.
Big yeesh. Wow.
So that's fun.
And like, it'll be May by the time this episode comes out.
It's gonna be May. I had to do it. You know I had to do it.
I had to do it to him. That's all probably right. A good place to call it, right?
Yeah, that'll about do it, I think. We are going to be back with you in a couple of weeks. I'm really excited for this next episode in 2 weeks' time.
What's that one?
Because that we have a guest episode.
No, this episode will come out after that.
This
guest.
One's after.
So
shoot.
We can excitedly say that we were glad.
I'm really
that we...
excited for the episode that's coming out 2 weeks before this.
Yeah, that was a good episode. She's cool.
Yeah. And if anyone is, wait, yeah, this is episode 5. All right, never mind.
But we'll have some other exciting guests 2 weeks from now as well, I'm sure.
Absolutely. I'm so excited for that one, too.
It'll be great, whoever they are.
It's going to be so good.
We'll get the Veronicas.
We'll get the Veronicas. They'll be there. If they're not, I'll shave my head. Anyway. Bye, everyone.
Bye.